I'm so excited because the first book by Darkness Prevails and Carmen Carrion is available for pre-order right now. It's the Freaky Folklore Compendium, filled with the history and lore of the most terrifying folklore monsters across the globe, alongside some cool but creepy illustrations. Releases July 16th. Pre-order now at eeriecast.com/freak or on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and your favorite bookstore.
In the eerie stillness of the forest, a scent of unease hung heavy in the air. Shadows danced menacingly among the trees, their dark forms casting ominous shapes on the forest floor. Whispers of a creature unseen but felt echoed through the underbrush, sending shivers down the spines of those who dared to tread its haunted domain. As twilight descended, a group of villagers huddled around a flickering fire, their faces etched with fear. They spoke in hushed tones, their voices trembling with trepidation, as they exchanged tales of the mysterious entity that stalked their lands, each story more chilling than the last, weaving a tapestry of dread that wrapped itself around their souls. "It's not just the children disappearing anymore," one villager murmured, casting a wary glance over their shoulder. "Whole families have vanished without a trace, leaving nothing but whispers in the wind." Another nodded solemnly, the firelight casting eerie shadows across their face. "They say it can imitate the cries of the lost, luring unsuspecting souls to their doom." They whispered, their voice barely more than a breath on the wind. As the night wore on, the villagers exchanged nervous glances, their minds haunted by the specter of the unknown. In the darkness, beyond the fire's glow, unseen eyes watched and waited, hungry for the next unsuspecting victim to fall prey to its sinister grasp. Welcome to Freaky Folklore, the podcast where we discover horrifying legends across the world and tell terrifying tales of monsters both ancient and modern. This week we are discussing the Crocata, a terrifying mythical creature from the folklore of India and Ethiopia, known for its shape-shifting and ability to mimic human voices and lure its victims to their demise. It is often depicted as a fearsome predator with a cunning and deceptive nature. This show is part of the EerieCast Podcast Network. Find more terrifying tales at eeriecast.com, such as Destination Terror. You can listen to a new episode every week as I take you to horrifying destinations, both real and mythical. Be sure to follow us on Spotify or your favorite podcasting service. You can leave an honest review on iTunes too. The more we get, the more we grow, and hopefully, the more monsters we can explore. You can now find Freaky Folklore videos on YouTube as well. If you would like to submit an encounter or suggestions for future episodes, you can email them to carmencarrion@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter or Instagram for information on future episodes. The red rubber ball bounced off the wall as Amara kicked it in frustration. None of her friends could play today. Their parents had been keeping them close, since people had started disappearing from her village. There had been one just last week, a little boy who was 5 years old. He had wandered into the brush behind his parents' home. They had found traces of blood, but no tracks, and no sign of the boy. The week before that, it was a young mother who had been working out in the fields with her baby by her side. They found the baby crying and alone. It was rare for wild animals to come close to their village, but it wasn't unheard of. A couple of summers back, when Amara was 6, a lion had attacked and killed one of the village women while she was coming back from the market. This time was different. There had already been 5 disappearances. Men, women, and children. No one was safe. Despite the inherent risks, the crops demanded attention. Their sustenance relied not only on the vegetables cultivated by her parents, but also on their sale at the market to meet additional needs. Most of the villagers were farmers, raising sheep, goats, and pigs, or growing crops of wheat, vegetables, or fruit. Amar's village was nestled amidst the breathtaking landscape of Ethiopia, cradled by rolling hills and lush greenery. It was a place where time seemed to move at its own leisurely pace, far removed from the hustle and bustle of modern life. The village itself was a picturesque sight, with quaint mud brick houses clustered together in a close-knit community. Narrow dirt pathways wound their way through the village, lined with vibrant flowers and shaded by towering trees. At the heart of the village stood a bustling marketplace, where villagers gathered each day to barter and trade their goods. Colorful stalls overflowed with an array of fresh fruits, vegetables, and handcrafted wares, their vibrant hues a testament to the richness of the land. Surrounding the village were sprawling fields of golden wheat and emerald green crops, tended to by farmers who toiled under the watchful gaze of the sun. In the distance, the majestic peaks of the Ethiopian highlands loomed, their snow-capped summits casting long shadows over the verdant countryside. Despite its remoteness, the village bustled with life, until now. Amara's frustration echoed in the hollow of her village, where the laughter of children once danced through the air, like delicate whispers. Now, the once vibrant streets lay silent, haunted by the specter of fear that gripped every heart in the village. In the shadow of recent disappearances, the village had become a place of dread, each passing day etched with the weight of uncertainty. Amara's own memories flickered back to the tragic loss of the little boy just a week prior, his innocent footsteps swallowed by an unknown predator lurking in the wilderness. The surrounding landscape, once a tapestry of serene beauty, now held a sinister allure. The rolling hills and lush greenery, which had once cradled the village in a comforting embrace, now seemed to conceal unseen terrors lurking in the shadows.
Amara!
She heard her mother call for her. She had strayed from her line of vision. Salam was young, still in her 20s. She had married Amara's father, Asefa, before her 20th birthday, and Amara was born less than a year later. Salam and Asefa were pillars of strength in the village, their bond forged by love, resilience, and unwavering devotion to each other, and to their daughter, Amara. Salam radiated warmth and compassion, her gentle demeanor bringing comfort to all who knew her, while Asefa's quiet strength and determination guided their family through life's trials with unwavering resolve. Together they epitomized the spirit of unity and resilience that defined their close-knit community. Amara picked up the ball and dashed towards her mother's familiar voice. There at the doorstep of their home stood Salam, waiting patiently. "Your father could use a hand," she said with a smile, beckoning Amara inside. She knew that whatever her father needed help with, it meant another adventure awaited them in the fields, or perhaps a new task to tackle together. "Your father has gone back out to the fields, and his helper didn't show up today," Salam explained, her brow furrowed with concern. "We're going to help him. We have to pick the vegetables before they rot on the vines." Amara looked forward to something to do, for a change of scenery. She missed her friends, and working would be a nice distraction. As they approached the fields, Amara spotted her father and ran to him. Asefa bent over rows of crops, his hands working diligently in the rich soil. With a warm smile, he glanced up as Amara approached, his eyes brightening at the sight of his daughter. Ah, there you are, my little helper. Asepa greeted her, his voice filled with warmth and affection. I could use some extra hands today. We have a lot to do before sundown. Amara nodded eagerly, excitement coursing through her veins. She joined her father in his work, her small hands quickly finding their rhythm as they worked side by side. Her mother approached and joined them as well. Asepa watched his young daughter proudly. She loved to work, but she was only 8 years old. He knew the day would come when she wasn't so eager to help anymore. He then looked at the rifle he had laid against the vegetable wagon for reassurance of their safety. His father had bought it the day he was born. Normally, he left it hidden safely at home, but lately it stayed within arm's reach while he worked. Once the village had felt secure during daylight hours, as larger predators typically prowled under the cover of darkness. However, a new peril now loomed, casting a shadow of fear that spread through whispered conversations among the villagers. Under the scorching sun, they toiled diligently, harvesting vegetables with purpose. As the wagon filled to the brim, Asepa realized it was time to empty it. Yet a thought crossed his mind. Perhaps sending Amara to fetch her mother's large woven basket could expedite the process, allowing them to wrap up their work and call it a day. Amara, Asepa began, his voice gentle yet firm. I need you to run back to the house and fetch your mother's large woven basket. If you go there quickly and straight back without delay, it will only take a few minutes. You'll be safe if you do as I say and be quick. So be cautious and hurry back to us. When the others had gone missing, they had been farther out in the fields near the woods, except for the small boy. But Amara would only be running between the field and their house. It was a short distance, and she would only be out of sight for a moment. As Amara nodded in understanding, a sense of unease gnawed at Asepa's gut, but he pushed it aside. He was being silly and overprotective. There was no danger in such a short distance. He watched her dart off towards the safety of their home, her small figure disappearing into the distance. As he turned his attention back to the task at hand, Asepa couldn't shake the feeling of apprehension that lingered in the air. The fields stretched out before him, bathed in the harsh light of the sun, yet the shadows seemed to lengthen with each passing moment, casting a veil of uncertainty over their surroundings, his worry finally overcoming him. He stopped his work and headed to make sure Amara was safe. Amara sprinted with all her might, her feet pounding against the familiar path she had traversed countless times before. Whether clad in shoes or barefoot, she knew every twist and turn by heart. However, as she reached the edge of the field, just behind their home, she skidded to a halt. A chilling sensation crept over her as the sound of a child's cry pierced the air, causing her heart to lurch in her chest. Listening intently, she strained to discern the source of the unmistakable whimper echoing in the air. As she cautiously approached the source of the whimper, her heart pounding with apprehension, she realized that the sound seemed to be coming from the dense thicket of bushes nearby. Amara, a brave and compassionate child, pushed aside any sense of personal fear, her primary concern being the welfare of whoever might be in distress. With determination in her heart, she quickened her pace towards the source of the whimper, her mind filled with thoughts of her friends and the possibility of someone needing her help. The basket she was sent to fetch, momentarily forgotten. As Amara pushed through the dense bushes, a cry for help echoed through the thicket, immediately capturing her attention. Recognizing the voice as that of her neighbor, a young boy she often played with, Amara's concern deepened, urging her to quicken her steps despite the potential danger lurking nearby. The whimpering grew louder as Amara approached, her determination unwavering even as a sense of foreboding lingered in the back of her mind. Yet as she pushed through the foliage and neared the source of the sound, a sudden snarl from behind jolted her senses. Spinning around, Amara barely had time to react before a massive form lunged at her from the shadows of the bushes. With a piercing scream, she stumbled backward, narrowly avoiding the creature's reach as she tumbled to the ground. Heart pounding in her chest, Amara scrambled to her feet and bolted, the creature's menacing growls echoing behind her. In her frantic flight, Amara's mind raced, desperately seeking refuge from the relentless pursuit. Recalling a small fort constructed by older kids deep in the woods, she veered towards it, the beast hot on her heels with each frantic step. Just in time, Amara reached the structure, throwing herself inside and slamming the door shut behind her as the creature crashed into it with a resounding thud. Trembling in the corner of the fort, tears streaking down her cheeks, Amara listened as the creature snarled and pawed at the door, its ominous presence casting a shadow of fear over her. Confusion clouded her thoughts as she glimpsed the creature's hooves beneath the door, realizing that it was unlike any predator she had encountered before. Her mind raced with uncertainty, the creature's haunting voice pleading from outside the door, its eerie familiarity sending shivers down her spine.
"Amara, open the door. I just want to play."
Salam had followed Asefa to check on their daughter, and they both froze at the sound of Amara's piercing scream, their hearts lurching in terror as fear gripped their souls. Without a moment's hesitation, they bolted towards the direction of the chilling cry, their minds racing with dread and desperation. Asefa clutched the rifle in his hand. They sprinted through the fields, their hearts pounding with dread as they searched frantically for any sign of their beloved daughter. With each step, their desperation mounted, their minds consumed by fear for Amara's safety. Finally, they reached the spot where the field opened behind their home, only to find a heartbreaking sight. A torn scrap of Amara's dress fluttering in the breeze, caught in a thorn bush. The realization hit them like a physical blow, sending waves of anguish coursing through their veins. Tears welled in Salam's eyes as she clutched the torn fabric to her chest, her voice trembling with grief. Asefa's hands clenched into fists at his sides, his jaw set in a grim line, as he fought to contain the overwhelming surge of emotion, threatening to consume him. What do you think you get when you cross Mufasa with Shenzi? You definitely don't get a Lion King, but you might get a Crocotta, or at least according to some descriptions. Cheesy jokes aside, could you imagine a wild beast any scarier than one that is part hyena and part lion, that has hooves like a bull? What about a creature that is also described as having the body of an extremely large dog, a wide mouth that extends from ear to ear, and instead of teeth, it has a rigid sharp bone to crush its victims as well? And it just gets creepier, as another distinct feature often attributed to the Crocotta is its ability to mimic human voices with uncanny accuracy. This trait is often portrayed as a means to lure unsuspecting victims into its grasp, using their trust and curiosity against them. In some accounts, the Crocotta is described as having a voracious appetite for human flesh, making it a terrifying predator that preys on travelers and lone wanderers. That would be a perfect balance in a recipe for nightmare fuel. And the Crocotta is such a creature, and it can be found in the folklore of various ancient cultures. including the ancient Ethiopian and Indian cultures. The origin story of the crocotta varies depending on the cultural context. In ancient Indian mythology, it is believed to be a demonic creature, born from the union of a demon and a jackal. In Ethiopian folklore, the crocotta is often associated with evil spirits or malevolent forces that haunt the wilderness, lurking in the shadows to ensnare those who dare to venture too far from civilization. As the ages passed, stories of this enigmatic being traversed the ancient pathways of trade, seamlessly integrating themselves into the rich tapestries of various cultures. Among these diverse mythologies, including those of the ancient Greek and Romans, the creature's uncanny ability to imitate human speech took on a symbolic significance, representing notions of cunning and betrayal. The crocotta, a creature of myth and mystery, has long been a source of fascination and debate among scholars and storytellers alike. While some speculate on its possible basis in reality, others dismiss it as nothing more than a figment of the imagination. Yet, regardless of its origins, the crocotta continues to weave its enigmatic allure, captivating the minds of people across cultures and generations. Tracing its roots to ancient Indian and Ethiopian mythology, the crocotta emerges as a creature of cunning and deception, lurking in the shadows of rainforests and haunting the depths of human imagination. Early accounts from esteemed writers paint vivid pictures of this beast, describing it as a melding of dog and wolf, or hyena and lion, with a chilling ability to mimic the voices of men and cattle alike. In Indian lore, the crocotta is depicted as a shapeshifter, wielding its mimicry like a deadly weapon to lure unsuspecting prey to their demise. Its sinister reputation as a harbinger of deceit and treachery echoes through history, finding a place in the mythologies of ancient Greece and Rome, where it takes on new forms and roles, adapting to fit the fears and fantasies of each culture it encounters. Today, the legend of the crocotta endures, its presence felt in the pages of modern literature, the screens of cinemas, and the realms of digital gaming. Artists render its visage in many forms, from ferocious beasts with jaws that stretch from ear to ear, to sleek predators with the cunning eyes of a hunter. In literature, the crocotta is portrayed as a fearsome adversary, blending the strength of a lion with the agility of a hyena and the loyalty of a faithful hound. Its ability to mimic human voices adds a chilling dimension to its character, transforming it from mere predator to a master of psychological manipulation. But perhaps most terrifying of all is the crocotta's hunting strategy, a deadly game of deception in which it mimics the cries of innocent creatures to lure its prey into a trap. Once ensnared, its victims stand little chance against its swift and merciless onslaught, crushed by bone teeth and claws that know no mercy. Thus, the legend of the crocotta endures, proof of the power of myth and the enduring fascination of the human psyche with the dark and mysterious creatures that inhabit the realms of our imagination. Despite its fearsome reputation, the crocotta remains a creature of myth and legend. While there is no scientific evidence to support its existence, the stories and legends surrounding this creature continue to fascinate and intrigue people around the world. The crocotta has been a part of folklore and mythology for centuries. In Indian mythology, the crocotta is known as the Krancha, a creature that is said to have the ability to change its form at will. It is also believed to have supernatural powers, such as the ability to control the elements and manipulate the minds of humans. In modern media, the crocotta has been depicted in various forms. It has appeared in movies, TV shows, and video games, often portrayed as a vicious and dangerous creature. In the popular TV show Supernatural, the crocotta is depicted as a demon that feeds on human flesh and can mimic the voices of its victims. In the video game Assassin's Creed Odyssey, the Crocotta is a mythical beast that the player must defeat in order to progress through the game. It is depicted as a large wolf-like creature with glowing eyes and sharp teeth. Overall, the Crocotta has had a significant impact on folklore, mythology, and modern media. Its ability to shape-shift and mimic human voices has made it a popular subject of stories and legends. Mythical creatures have evolved over time, with new creatures being added to the mythology of different cultures. Some creatures have been inspired by real animals, while others have been created purely from imagination. As cultures have interacted with each other, the mythology of different cultures has also influenced each other. For example, the Greek Chimera may have been influenced by the ancient myth of the Anzu bird, which had the head of a lion and the body of an eagle. Mythical creatures continue to capture the imagination of people around the world, and new creatures are still being created today in modern mythology, such as the Jersey Devil in American folklore, or the more modern Slender Man. Numerous mythical creatures are thought to have originated from real animals, often misunderstood or exaggerated. For instance, the Crocotta's inspiration might trace back to the striped hyena, renowned for its distinctive laughter, possibly misinterpreted as human speech. Alternatively, some propose the Crocotta served as a primitive explanation for inexplicable natural occurrences, like its purported shape-shifting ability, which might have explained unusual animal behaviors. Despite lacking scientific validation, the enduring fascination with the Crocotta suggests its profound impact on global imagination. Whether an amalgamation of real animals or a symbolic interpretation of natural phenomena, the Crocotta remains an intriguing enigma within mythological stories.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Go get help! Asefa's voice cracked with urgency as he ordered Salam, his eyes blazing with determination. With a nod, Salam turned and sprinted towards the village, her heart pounding with fear. Meanwhile, Asefa approached the bush where the torn fabric hung, his hands trembling with emotion as he plucked the fabric from the thorn branch. A surge of anguish washed over him as he clutched the torn garment, his mind racing with desperate thoughts. "Tell them to bring their guns," he called after Salam, his voice heavy with grim resolve. Asefa knew that whatever had taken their daughter was no ordinary threat, and he was prepared to do whatever it took to bring her back safely. Amara huddled in the corner, attempting to shrink herself into the smallest possible form as tears streaked down her face. She fought to stifle her sobs as the creature paced back and forth, its ominous presence casting a shadow at the bottom of the door. Every now and then, it would pause to dig the dirt hole deeper beneath the door, each scrape sending shivers down Amara's spine. She held her breath as the sounds ceased, her heart pounding in her chest, as she prayed for the creature to give up its relentless pursuit. Minutes stretched into what felt like eternity, the oppressive silence weighing heavily on her fragile nerves. Yet Amara dared not move, paralyzed by fear. As the tension began to ebb away and exhaustion set in, Amara's body gradually relaxed, and she sank to the ground in weary resignation. With her hands covering her face, she felt a sudden jab against her side, causing her to flinch in surprise. Raising herself up slightly, she peered down to discover several small fingers protruding from the dirt floor. In her young mind, a flicker of hope ignited as she imagined someone trapped beneath the soil. Frantically, she began to dig, her small hands working tirelessly until the earth began to yield its secrets. First, an arm emerged from the dirt, followed by the gradual revelation of a familiar face, the young boy who had disappeared just a week prior. Amara brushed the dirt from his face, her heart pounding with anticipation, only for horror to grip her soul as his lifeless eyes stared blankly at the ceiling. With a gasp of terror, she recoiled, scrambling backward to huddle against the wall once more, the chilling realization of the boy's fate searing into her consciousness. Suddenly, Amara's heart lurched again as there was a slight rap on the wooden door of the hut. "Amara!" She heard the voice of a child again. "Can you let me in? I'm scared out here alone." She was afraid. Was the creature trying to deceive her into opening the door? Then she heard crying, and she thought, what if someone else was in trouble? They would be alone out there with that monster. She crawled warily to the door and peeked between the cracks in the aged wood. Her heart ached at the sight of a small boy with tattered clothes and mud-caked hair. With unwavering resolve, Amara reached for the door, her hand trembling slightly as she swung it open to welcome the boy inside. His tears ceased as he stepped across the threshold. But before Amara could fully process the moment, she swiftly closed the door behind him, sealing them both inside the safety of the hut. "We're safe in here until they find us," Amara began, her voice trembling with a mixture of reassurance and fear. Yet her words faltered as she caught sight of the boy's face in the dim light, filtering through the thatched roof. His features obscured by dirt, all she could discern was a wide, toothy smile and a pair of eyes, eyes that mirrored those of the lifeless boy that she found buried in the dirt just moments before. She began to back away as her heart continued to seize with fear. The boy stepped closer, his smile never wavering. "Thank you for letting me in. I am so very, very hungry." The boy's voice had changed into a chillingly deep tone that sent shivers down Amara's spine. Her instincts screamed at her to flee, to escape the clutches of whatever sinister force had infiltrated her sanctuary. Yet, her legs felt as though they were rooted to the ground, paralyzed by the overwhelming dread that pulsed through her veins. With each step the boy took, Amara's fear intensified. His unyielding smile made the blood in her veins feel like ice, his eyes gleaming with an unsettling hunger that chilled her to the core. "Thank you for letting me in. I've been so lonely." The boy's voice echoed in the confined space, its once innocent timbre twisted into something altogether sinister. Every fiber of Amara's being screamed for her to run, to escape the clutches of the malevolent presence that stood before her. But as she backed away, her heart pounding in her chest, Amara realized with a sinking feeling that there was no escape from the darkness that had descended upon her. She was trapped, alone with the creature that wore the face of a child, its insatiable hunger threatening to consume her. Crawling back to the corner where she had huddled before, Amara watched in sheer terror as the boy began to change before her eyes. His arms reached out onto the dirt floor. His fingers began to meld together grotesquely until they looked more like hooves than hands. The boy's back arched, and she could hear his bones crack and stretch as his spine grew and burst through his tattered clothing. An angry, pained snarl escaped his lips, and his cheekbones protruded and shifted beneath his skin that was beginning to sprout hair. Amara tried to scramble toward the door, her heart racing with a frantic urgency. But the creature's gaze locked onto hers, its amber eyes burning with an otherworldly intensity. With a guttural snarl, it lunged forward, saliva dripping from its elongated snout, its feral instincts driving it ever closer to its prey. Not far away, Asepha pressed on, his heart pounding with a mixture of dread and determination as he followed the broken limbs and faint footprints that marked the path of his daughter and her pursuer. With each step, he fought to push aside the gnawing fear that threatened to consume him. Driven by an unwavering resolve to find his daughter and bring her home, no matter the cost, his senses heightened. Asepha strained to catch any sound that might lead him closer to Amara. The faint rustle of leaves, the distant cry of a bird, every noise sent a jolt of apprehension through his veins, fueling his determination to find her. Suddenly, a low growl echoed through the forest, causing Asepha to freeze in his tracks. His heart hammered in his chest as he scanned the surroundings, his eyes darting from shadow to shadow in search of the source of the ominous sound. Asepha's heart clenched with dread as Amara's piercing screams shattered the eerie silence of the forest. Adrenaline surged through his veins, driving him forward with a renewed sense of urgency. Ignoring the primal fear that threatened to consume him, Asepha sprinted towards the source of his daughter's cries, his breath coming in ragged gasps as he pushed his body to its limits. With each step, the forest seemed to close in around him, the gnarled branches reaching out like sinister claws to ensnare him. But Asepha pressed on, driven by a fierce determination to reach his daughter and protect her from whatever horrors lurked in the shadows. As he drew closer to the source of the screams, Asepha's heart hammered in his chest, his mind consumed by a single thought, to find Amara and bring her back to safety. As he ran, the screams faded, but not before bringing him to the small fort, built by the hands of children, that was nestled among the trees. Asepha kicked the door open and found darkness inside. Heart pounding, Asepha burst into the small fort, his rifle held tightly in his grip as he scanned the darkness within. The musty smell of earth and the fetid smell of decay filled his nostrils as his eyes slowly adjusted to the dim light filtering through the cracks in the thatched roof. For a moment, all was quiet, except for the sound of his own ragged breath echoing in the confined space. Asepha's senses were on high alert, every nerve in his body primed for danger, as he searched every shadowy corner for any sign of his daughter. Then he heard a whimper from the darkest corner of the shack, a faint sound that made his heart ache with hope. Asepha's heart skipped a beat as he turned towards the source of the noise, his eyes straining to pierce through the shadows. There, huddled in the farthest corner, was Amara, shaken and alone, her eyes wide with fear as she clutched her knees to her chest. Relief flooded through Asepha as he rushed to her side, gathering her trembling form into his arms with a fierce tenderness.
"Amara, my dear,"
he murmured, his voice choked with emotion as he held her close. "You're safe now. I've got you." With gentle reassurance, Asefa guided Amara out of the shack and into the cool evening air, the weight of their ordeal heavy upon them. As they made their way through the forest, the distant echo of their footsteps mingled with the soft rustle of leaves, a somber reminder of the darkness that lurked in the shadows. But in his haste to comfort his daughter and lead her back to their home, Asefa failed to notice the grim tableau that lay hidden in the dirt, the limbs of lifeless bodies buried beneath the dirt floor, their silent cries forever lost to the night. He didn't notice the small hand and the fabric of Amara's dress amongst them. As they emerged from the forest into the now moonlit field, where Asefa had last seen Amara before the attack, he halted and gently turned his daughter to face him. Squatting down to meet her gaze, he searched her eyes for any sign of harm. "What happened, Amara? Did the creature hurt you?" he inquired, his voice laced with concern. "No, father. You scared it off," she replied with relief, launching herself into his waiting arms. Asefa held her close, the weight of worry lifting from his shoulders as he savored the warmth of her embrace. But over his shoulder, Amara's face transformed, her innocent smile contorted into a sinister grin, revealing large bony teeth, and her gentle brown eyes morphed into an amber glow. Thank you for listening to Freaky Folklore, the podcast about mankind's horrifying legends and myths. Don't forget to follow Freaky Folklore on Spotify and iTunes. If you can, leave the show an honest review on iTunes to help us grow. Freaky Folklore is part of the EerieCast Podcast Network, the home for listeners who love to feel scared. Go to EerieCast.com to find other terrifying podcasts, such as Destination Terror, hosted by me, Carmen Carrion. If you would like to submit an encounter or suggestions for future episodes, you can email them to carmencarrion@gmail.com. That is carmencarrion@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter or Instagram for information on future episodes. Until next time, stay safe out there, because this world is a strange one.
Save big money now on new siding from LP SmartSide at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP SmartSide today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.